This Sunday Show with Ed Finn with Germany.travel. Feel inspired by Germany. Your adventure awaits.
Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show. This evening, I have a very special guest I'm very excited about, the wonderful Super Mario Rosenstock. Mario, hello, how are you? Happy Christmas.
Ed, happy Christmas to you and happy Christmas to all the listeners in Sunshine. I must confess, Sunshine is a guilty pleasure of mine. I do love it. As I say, sometimes I settle down on a Friday evening and I open a bottle of Rouge and I'll put on Sunshine and see when Carole King or whatever comes on. Paddy Cole here, I am. Paddy Cole as well. And Ken Doherty is a good friend of mine. Ken has appeared on my podcast and Ken and I stay in touch and he does the sport here as well. And I love Joe Harrington as well. And, you know,
Mellow Moments.
Yeah, and Robbie Fogarty. And
you've nearly listed them all.
And Carole Dooley. Carole interviewed me before and I love them all. But no, Sunshine is a brilliant. I congratulate everybody concerned with Sunshine because it spotted a gap in the market. It kept determined to go after it. And it has a wonderful share of the market in Dublin.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we were thrilled a few weeks ago, number one music station for all adults. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
Great.
Incredible. Yeah. And that's because you give people what they want. They want this easy listening music where you'll hear all these wonderful, wonderful tracks from years gone by. And Sunshine does a great job.
Yeah, and I think as well, Mario, like, you know, with the whole COVID thing, I think people just got completely like inundated with all this information and facts and figures. And I think a lot of people just switched off and just decided, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah, they did. I remember there was eWorld. I remember Dahi O'Shea and Maura, they did extremely well on the Today Show. One word they never mentioned was COVID. They never mentioned COVID. And everybody, Dahi O'Shea here, and everybody be hiding under the thing is like, what is the name of the famous Argentinian footballer? Is it filthy? Is it dirty? Or is it messy? Call this number now. Oh, Dahi, you're such a madman. Oh, shut up, Maura. What are you cooking for me there, Mirteen? I'm cooking you a baked Alaska there, Dahi. I laid the arse out of that. So people who didn't talk about COVID surprisingly did well as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love Morning Joy. I did Travel Thursday for about 2 years up and down to Cork with them and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And a great show, actually. Again, it's the Sunshine equivalent of TV, maybe, or something.
It is, yeah. So, and you mentioned,
easy watching.
And you mentioned Cork there, and of course, I have close connections with Cork. I went to school there for 4 years. But, of course, Sunshine doesn't broadcast in Cork, so we'll forget them.
Yeah. Alexa, play Sunshine 106.8. We've all got Alexa in Cork for Sunshine.
No, that's Alexa.
Or Google.
Alexa, you lang boy. Play Sunshine 106, but not that Langer, Ed Finn.
Oh, God. I always remember there was a great golfer. Do you remember Bernard Langer?
Bernard Langer.
Yeah, another great German. And he was up a tree one time. Remember, he hit a ball up a tree and his Langer's up the tree. And everybody in Cork was hysterical. Nobody
Langer's
else in Ireland,
up the nobody, tree.
Yeah, and he hit the ball out of the tree.
Yeah,
he was an amazing golfer.
Brilliant.
But the Cork thing is really interesting because you went to Ashton School, which was very posh in Cork. Yeah. I went to Prez, actually. So that was Ronan School and very
nice.
Was
that George Oak as well, was it? Did George Oak go to Prez? So maybe that's where he learned all his misogynistic rubbish.
And Raj went there as well, did he?
Raj, yeah, George, yeah. I missed George.
I'm absolutely over the moon to be here with Ed Finn, as you can hear.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been more excited in my life to be on in Sunshine 106 FM.
It was great. I loved when you had him on your podcast. About 16 children arrived into the back of it. It was really great. They were all paraded along. It was brilliant.
That's
little ad hoc moment.
Yeah, he's an amazing character, Raj.
Yeah.
He's one of those one-offs that Cork produced. You know, when you're talking about people like, Bill O'Hurley or Roy Keane or Raj, these really, really interesting, colourful people.
Yeah, but we were saying there earlier, I mean, there is a great humour in Cork, right? I love it when I go down. I'll be down for Christmas now, and the minute you arrive, you can hear that sort of those accents in the air. You just feel like
there is.
I was only unique.
I'd say I was only one day in Cork before I had the Cork accent. I completely
it's
embraced
infectious.
It. Yeah, you're just, it's like a little river going up and down.
Singing
and
like.
You know, that's a stream that meanders and bobbles down the way and you just pick it up really quickly. But the other thing about Cork that's interesting regarding humour is the politics. So like Cork is a very political town as well. So, you know, obviously Treaty and anti-treaty and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but it also is a city, so it also has the kind of the redness of Labour as well. So it's a deeply political town as well as being a big piss take of a town.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well. So you have to be ready when you're down in Cork. They test your mettle. I remember there was a famous DJ down in Cork who had a particularly embarrassing incident on a plane. We won't mention his name, but anyway, I got down there about 2 days after it happened. Every Cork taxi driver had 5 minutes material on this, and it was all quality. None of them were the same. They were all different, and it was just like, hang on lads, I can't write this down fast enough.
Well, that is, I mean, listen, getting the taxi from the train to the Morning Dahi show, I would get great travel tips, yeah, as well. Like,
great,
I was in Budapest, it was an awful place. Like, dear, do you know that hotel in Budapest?
I hear you're going in to talk to Neil Prendeville there. He's an awful langer. He works out at the same place as me. He pretends he's doing more weights than he's doing and everything. He only lifting 50s and he's saying he's lifting 80s.
So, on the Cork thing, do you think Cork was responsible for a lot of your wonderful humour? I mean, was your formative years, you were 14 when you were in school there, is that right?
The answer is no, Ed. It wasn't.
It was ameliorated
by Cork, but no, my mother, my humour comes probably, I was talking about this to my auntie yesterday, my humour comes through my mum's side of the family, which was from the Waterford side, and it comes from years and years growing up, sitting in kitchens, doing skits, and basically
eating glass,
doing skits, and listen, and basically people taking the piss out of each other. So the grandmother would come up and go on, she'd give you a nudge, go on Mario, do Caroline, and you'd then do a routine on Caroline, or do Hugo, my uncle who sadly passed away recently, and do Hugo, and of course I'd be doing Hugo and Caroline, do the teacher in school, do him, and they'd be sitting around laughing, and of course you were trained from an early age to do a routine or a riff, and then my brother was involved as well, Renee, and we would do little sketches together, you know, so we would imitate stuff off the television or movie stars or sports people or sports commentators.
Oh.
And from a very early age I was doing Peter O'Sullivan, except we wouldn't have him commentating on Peter O'Sullivan, we would have him commentating on the scar on Renee's face that I put there when I scratched him when he's 5, and now it's Scarface, my brother Scarface, look how ugly he is, he's approaching the table, Scarface, what is he going to do next? And that's what we do, all these things where we, you know, so and then you know, other we'd see Snooker.
I'll never get through this interview.
Ed Finn approaches the table. Ed, one of the greatest Cork snooker players that's ever lived. Ed, 6'2", incredibly handsome.
Now you got the height right anyway.
The pin-up of the snooker world. He comes from Montanotti.
Chalking his balls.
Chalking his balls. He takes the cue in his hand and strokes it.
Oh, dear God.
So, like, we used to do all these impressions, yeah, and all of this stuff. And I grew up basically doing little skits and things.
And the Rosenstock, obviously, is German, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all know
Germany is
notorious for its sense of humour as well. Actually.
Ed, please. Rosenstock. Can you pronounce it?
Oh, sorry.
Rosenstock.
I'm just back. I was just in Nuremberg and Frankfurt. I love Germany, by the way.
Heiße Mario Rosenstock.
Yeah, right? So they're good.
They're good. That's what we like Jürgen Klopp, yeah? Okay. Ed Finn. Fantastic. One out of seven.
So, Rosenstock. My granddad was a German, and he was a German doctor. But interestingly for your listeners, if you'd be interested, he was also in the Wehrmacht, which was the army, and he fought for Germany. Now, he wasn't a Nazi, or he wasn't in the SS.
He was a good German.
Or the Gestapo. He was just a normal, he was a doctor, young 22-year-old German officer, and he was posted on the island of Jersey, Channel Island. And there he met my grandmother, who was a nurse from Athenry.
She was dodging tax, obviously.
A nurse from Athenry, Ed, called Keane. She was Keane.
The fields.
She was Keane. Oh, credit to Keane. And she was she was called Keane, Moyen Keane, and she was a nurse from Athenry, and they fell in love. Love across war-torn Europe. War ended, and he and her came over to Limerick, and he set up a practice in Limerick, Kilfinnan, County
fantastic.
Limerick.
But that's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's where my family then, the Rosenstock side of the family came from. They came from Limerick. So you could see where I get
all the action from there then, you know. So Willie O'Dea, if you want to get...
I'm Michael Noonan.
So Michael Limerick Noonan is good for you.
Michael Noonan came from Limerick. And of course, I remember your grandfather. Or he fixed my bed, or he fixed my back.
And of course, Michael D. Higgins would claim to be from Limerick as well, even though he's actually from Clare, and he's from Galway, and I live in Dublin, but of course I'm from everywhere.
He's worse at claiming places than Bertie Ahern, Ed. Do you remember Ed, Bertie Ahern?
I'm looking forward to his Christmas message.
Well, of course, the Aherns in Galway were very, very influential in the Galway area, and I'm a northerner, of course, so I'm from Belfast myself, so that's the Good Friday Agreement, and two of my fathers were in Derry, and I had 17 fathers. One of them was in Antrim. Success has many fathers, Ed. A failure is an orphan.
When did you start I mean, you were at home doing these impressions. Mm. When did you first realise, geez, I'm really good at this?
I always say the same kind of little story that I noticed power of it. Because there's a power that comes with it. And I noticed the power of it once when my folks were standing up having a stand-up argument. And I was like 5, and so I was only tiny, and I was trying to get their attention. So I couldn't get their attention because they were too preoccupied with their argument. So I started doing an impression of my father. He had his attention. I was age 5, my hands into my pockets the way he did. Kind of, I started walking around the kitchen like he did.
And I started talking like he did. For some reason, he had a strange Eastern European accent. And
my mother went, look, 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 he's doing you. And I went, and he went, like everybody else who's ever said to me,
he's not doing me, that sounds nothing like me.
And he went, she said, that sounds exactly like you.
That's not me.
But what I noticed was, it got their attention. And I went, something in my brain went, ooh, this stopped them in their tracks. It got them attention. So I felt there was a certain power associated. And then a few years later, I started noticing in school, let's say there was a boy in class who was bigger than you and maybe picks on you every so often. And I remember once he'd pick on people and he'd bully them and nobody went near this fella and he'd murder you. And I remember then he fixed his eyes on me one day. Oh, Jesus, here I go now. I'm the latest prey. So I decided to take matters into my own hands, and there was 23 of us or 4 of us class, and I did an impression of him before he came down to me, and the whole few of them started laughing, and then I went going with the impression. Whole place started roaring laughing, and he went,
there's the power.
He went red and sank into his seat, and basically I went, Jesus, power of that. It was like a force field. I had almost turned the entire, if you like, psychic energy against this guy. And then from then on he'd come up to me and he'd go, almost, do you want to be kind of first lieutenant in my gang?
That's brilliant.
And so I noticed that this thing had a power. Now, of course, that power you have to be careful with, because you yourself turn into a bully with that kind of power.
Yeah.
And I do regret that at times when I was especially a young fella, I would be a bit cruel with it, and I would you know, use it to mock people, and poor, you know, you'd be accused of bullying yourself then, you know. So I think that nobody likes being laughed at, Ed. It's everybody's worst nightmare. In fact, we often have that dream of you're in the middle of somewhere and everybody's laughing at you and you go, Jesus, it's like caught with your underpants off, or that tooth, you know, when you've got no teeth or something, or your tooth falls out, the insecure dream.
And so
I realised it was a powerful tool to be able to turn the tables on somebody and mock them and to parody them. Nobody likes being made a fool of. And so then I sort of then became an actor, and but it was really only with the start of the radio station that came.
And I loved the story. I was listening to you actually chatting about, I have a niece called Robin, my brother-in-law is a Kiwi, so I was thinking all these little, I was like, wow, because you lived with the Robin as well.
I lived with the Robin and Kim from New Zealand.
She was working in radio.
She was.
You were doing Gerry Adams now I've no idea why you were doing Gerry Adams in particular. It's a bathroom thing, maybe.
It was around 1997 or around 1997, and at the time the whole Good Friday peace agreement and the peace process was absolutely massive. Every night on the news, you'd just hear Gerry Adams going, well, obviously we're seeking compromise with the unionists, and behind him you'd see Martin going, that's right, we're seeking compromise with the unionists, but David Trimble, he isn't moving.
Not moving.
So I would just be in the shower at night, and I'd be just doing voices to myself, because acoustics in the shower are great. And I'd end up going,
no, Martin, pass the Tahiti shampoo there.
Hi, Jerry, will I do your back there? Give you an old rub. Anyway, the girls would be outside, right, pissing themselves laughing, because they'd be hearing Gerry Adams, Martin McGuinness, and me having a shower together in the bathroom. And so they'd get a good bit of, I can imagine. They'd get a bit of crack out of this. And one day, anyway, Robin, who was working in this nascent radio station called Radio Ireland, stroke Today FM, rang me and went, Mario, would you ring in and just take piss out of Britney Spears' song that we played as Gerry Adams? I thought nothing of it. I rang in. Later she came home and she went, oh, everybody went nuts for this. We got loads of calls. Do you do anybody else? And it was in my mind, I went, do I do anybody else? And I actually just wrote them down. And I came to about 100 names that I do, like from Bertie Ahern to Michael D. Higgins to, you know, Michael Douglas. You know, greed, for want of a better word, is good. Greed for life. Greed for power. Greed's what's going to save this malfunctioning corporation known as the United States of America. Thank you.
Wall Street, I can feel it.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? So I did all these little characters and stuff, you know, and you know, your George Hooks are, I'm numphy, and that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's great. Ed is a good guy. He's not a great guy. He's a good guy. And just Michael D. Higgins.
Yeah.
Michael D. Higgins. And I used to do unusual ones as well. I used to do ones that other people didn't do. And I used to...
You're Joan Burton, like, seriously.
I mean, that was later, yeah. I met her in a lift.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went, can I just say, you don't sound like me at all. And I went, sorry, Miss Burton, sorry. And then she She got out of the lift, and just as she got out of it,
but you do it great, Willie O'D.
And the other one
Vincent
was
Vincent Brown loved
same,
Joan.
The same one, the same lift, the same lift.
Yeah,
I remember once closed the lift door, foot comes through the door. Brian Callum.
Oh, lovely.
Time going forward. He was Taoiseach.
Yeah,
and it was just me and him and the advisor in the lift. And my heads were down like this. And the lift opens. I've got out at the top, and he gets out. And just before he gets out, he looks around and goes, well, "I'm obviously giving you great material there, aren't I?" And I went, "Taoiseach, you're the gift that keeps on giving, giving." And he just laughed. So you could see immediately he had a sense of humour.
Yeah.
And I subsequently asked people Cowan like, and they go, "He is very bright, very funny, and apparently an ace impressionist," which you had heard from the Ardlawn Hotel.
Yeah.
Apparently he was up that night doing Micheál and Mara Hartig impressions and everything until 4 o'clock in the morning.
This Sunday show with Ed Finn with Germany.travel. Feel inspired by Germany. Your adventure awaits.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the Sunday show. I've had my water to try and recover here now with the wonderful Mario Rosenstock here. Mario, then you met
Ian Dempsey. Now, before Ed continues, may I just say, as Minister for Finance, may I wish you all a happy and sincerely good Christmas. And may I say, nobody drinks water as carefully and as judiciously as Ed Finn. He is saving every little milliliter of water because Sunshine are on a budget at the moment, and I love people who are on budgets. Thank you, Sunshine. Go on, Ed.
Thank you, Minister. Congratulations.
I have to go now.
I'm getting the new EU job again.
He's President of Europe. He's Napoleon.
I'm telling you, I know he's one hand inside the jacket.
Yeah, he's King of Europe.
So you met Ian Dempsey, right? Now, that could be described as a life-changing event in a way, because it was this fabulous relationship, wasn't it, when you started in the radio?
Yeah, it was pretty much, when we started on the radio, it was instant gold for both of us. And I'm not speaking outside of class here, but it's just that I had so many little ideas to bring to the table. And Ian is so good as a fall guy, as a foil man. He's so comic. People don't understand this about them. He's very, very good comically. He's got great comic ideas. He's got brilliant comic judgment, and he's brilliant comic timing himself as a kind of a straight man. And so he is a joy to play with. And so, as always, you see, he was brilliant at doing Zig and Zag and all this. So he was years dealing with imaginary characters.
Zig
and Zag are imaginary.
Jeez, where are they now, I wonder? Yeah.
And Dustin and everything, you know. So he was brilliant playing with all those characters.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so Ian was always good with comedy, and he's a big fan of comedy. He is a massive comedy fan. He loves anything from Peter Kay to Python to Partridge. He loves, you know, all sorts of comedy. And as soon as we started working together, we just hit it off. We particularly hit it off big with a couple of early things, which was Bertie. And Bertie was the Taoiseach, and he was the youngest Taoiseach we'd ever had. And he was a separated Taoiseach, and that was important for Irish, you know, Ireland, to Ireland society moving forward, very much in the way the LGBT thing, you know, happened in 2015. The separated man being leader of Ireland was interesting. And a Blair was around as well. And I was really good at doing Tony Blair and Gerry Adams and all those guys. And then I brought individual Sonny Funny characters to the plate as well. Like, I made up kind of half characters. Like, there was one guy I made up kind of Jaap Stam. And Jaap Stam was this kind of mad Dutch riffing guy who would talk about all sorts of mad stuff. And Ian and I would talk for 7, 8, 9 minutes as Jaap Stam. You'd never hear that nowadays.
Yeah.
Nowadays, never. We'd go on for 7 or 8 minutes, and people would stay in their cars and listen to it on the radio. And so we hit it off pretty much instantly. And although Ian and I are really good friends, it's I think one of the things that has kept us friends and kept the relationship alive is the fact that we've never been in each other's faces privately. So although, of course, we've been out many times, we don't socialise together. And he has his own core group of friends, and I have my own, I suppose, small group of friends as well. And we wouldn't really cross over, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that means, because you see, I would be with Ian more often during times of the year, and I would be with my wife. So, like, you don't want to be with each other even more than that.
So you've a very happy marriage, obviously.
We have. Well, for two gay men who are living together and that their wives don't know about, we have a very happy marriage. Yeah, he's a little non-tactile. I'm very tactile.
Very Irish, anyway.
You know, genuinely, I am. I love touching people.
Oh, wow. Miriam.
You know, and Ian Dempsey, he's so warm. But, you know, he needs fluffing up a bit. And I'm a really good fluffer, as Ray Darcy will tell you.
No, I never heard of that. No, I don't like to be fluffed. I don't like to be fluffed, Ed. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is, Ed, but I don't like to be fluffed. I like running and porridge.
Two great things. Now, I must say, right, your brilliant show then, of course, the roast, Mario's roast, that lasted for a few years. Yes. And then, I think, did it get a bit too over the top for...
No.
Was it a bit, like, too controversial, or was it just hugely popular?
No, it was hugely popular, and it got taken off the air. And I think that the previous owners of the station kind of made a choice that they wanted it off the air. It wasn't anything to do with content of the show, which was going really well. It was to do with just money, really.
Yeah.
And so we were just taken off the air, and I miss it. And I said, after we finished the roast, I said to my producer, Patrick, I said, let's keep this going. Let's do a podcast. And ever since 2021, I've been doing the podcast.
Now, that's really interesting, because I think podcasting, I mean, I was looking at some figures the other day, it's just exploded around the world, because unlike, I suppose, a lot of radio programs, you can listen to your podcast when you're jogging, when you're in the shop, wherever you want, and it's like it's on tap for you. Now, your podcast is really creative, and it's incredibly funny. Obviously, that goes without saying, but it's a really, because there's so many podcasts out there now, anybody with a phone or even a microphone, I think, thinks they can set up a podcast, but I think from you coming from radio, I think that helps a lot in terms of your podcast was very professional.
To produce,
Yeah,
it's a bit like people about books. I mean, people say there's a book inside everybody, but really, do they have to write it?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean they should write it.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Just because there's a book, it doesn't mean they should get out there and write it. Don't write that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So there's a podcast in everybody as well. Again, I think the key to podcasts are, that simple expression, you need to find your own lane. You need to find a lane. What lane are you in?
What would you say your USP is? It
yeah,
like
the USP
that?
Would be interviews with a twist.
Yeah.
So I have a curious way of interviewing people, which is a kind of an individual way of interviewing, but also that the interviewees interact with comic characters. So I make the interviewees, I call in as comic characters. They have to deal with that. And then the second thing I do is I do comic sketches on the podcast. So I also do comedy sketches on the podcast. And the comedy sketches I do on the podcast are sometimes a little edgier than they would be on the radio. I can use some bad language. I can do some subjects that would be a bit gnarly for the radio. But then sometimes I find characters that I can do on the podcast, and I find that they're very popular. And because they could popular, they can migrate eventually to the radio. So I'll give you a case in point, which hasn't actually happened yet, but it's going to happen in my live show. So I love other podcasts, right? So one of the podcasts I get a great kick out of is Joanne and Vogue.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Joanne and
very
Vogue.
Good.
Yeah, Joanne and Vogue, right? So Joanne is this, like, you know, this modern gal, and she always talk about riding guys. You know, Ed Finn, he's a bit of a ride. I do a blow-up doll of Ed Finn and just ride him senseless. You know, can you say that on Sunshine? It doesn't matter. They'll print it anyway. And then Vogue kind of is her, you know...
Temper,
sir. Vogue is her straight person.
Yeah.
So Joanna's talking about riding firemen, and Vogue is going, look, you can't say that. You can't say that, Joanna. She has a really deep voice. And she's from Hoth. And you can't say, shut up, Jay. So then I started doing those two. But those two are very mainstream characters. So they would be able to live on the radio, as long as I don't say, ride, too much.
Yeah.
And so those would be great characters. Because when I'm looking for characters on Gift Grub, I always look for characters who a lot of people would have invested some thought in. And like, everybody kind of knows now that these two girls, Joanne and Vogue, are these massive success with this podcast my therapist ghosted me. And Joanne has become the most successful comedian in Ireland at the moment.
Yeah, incredible.
Incredible rush to success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's going to New York, Berlin, Australia, New Zealand, all over Ireland. She's done 50 nights in Vicar Street. This success is serious success. And their podcast is doing the Three Arena, multiple nights in the Three Arena. This is 12,000 people, Ed.
Yeah, it's a whole new area, isn't it?
Yeah. So I kind of brought a different, that's my lane, my USP to the podcast. Mm. And but also it allows you, really good for meeting people as well. I love meeting people who I haven't met before. And so I kind of pick names out of the newspaper or whatever and go, oh, I'd like to meet her or him. I wonder would she come on the podcast? And every so often somebody will come in and you go, come on, that was great, you know?
Yeah, I mean, David McWilliams, I think, was a great one. I loved that. It was really cool.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And it's lovely to see the funny side, you know, that you bring up, because you know, everybody obviously has another side to them.
Yeah,
just...
and most people, I have to say, are really good about it. Really good about it. And again, it's that thing in Ireland, nobody wants to be seen not to have a good sense of humour.
Yeah, and of course, that's one thing about Ireland. I mean, accents, I think, you know, you love, and I think everybody. I mean, when I hear people doing accents, I start lighting up because it sparks off something in us. What is that? Do you think?
Because it's our curiosity in our neighbour, and in Ireland we are endlessly curious about our neighbour and what our neighbours are up to. And for a country that is so small, we have a hugely diverse array of accents.
Yeah, from one bus stop to the next.
Correct.
Almost.
I mean, you know, we were talking about this not so long ago, but like, I was one of the first people kind of to sort of celebrate like this Waterford accent on the radio, you know? What are you talking about, boy? Yeah.
No, it's a hard one. That's a nuance. It's a hard one
it
to
is.
Do.
It is. It's very guttural, right? Yeah. So what are you talking about, boy? Yeah. My name is Mossy Henry, boy, and I live out in Ballytruckle. Go out of that, boy, will you? Do you want to kick in the hole, boy? Do you want your go, boy? Ed Finn, do you want your go? And it's very guttural, you know?
Mm.
And then, you know, it softens a little bit maybe when you get into Tipperary or Kilkenny. And then you get this terribly peculiar accent in Wexford
and the way I go up like that. And you know, Lurie's all. And you know, that's queer funny, hon.
Yeah. Where did this up
again?
Go?
Very, that's again, you can pick up, you have an ear for these.
Yeah, and then
nuanced.
When you're going into Wexford, then you're going into Wicklow, into Arklow, then, right?
So you got this mountainy man, myself.
And so, but this peculiar thing, I was saying to Ian actually, this the Waterford thing, the Lair, but Lair. And I was talking about like the Normans.
Mm.
And so you'd have somebody like called Eddie Butler.
Yeah.
Or and his name would be, you know, in Irish, that would be Eddie de Butler, right? So Eddie de Butler, Lair, see the way I'm saying Lair?
Yeah.
Is very French.
Yeah.
Is that a Norman? Lair. And that's where the Waterford accent is coming from. Your man is called de Butler. And you're going, it's a Waterford person doing a French accent. Or I'm fascinated by, for example, the idea that, like,
you know, where are you coming from, boy? You know, what are you doing? Well, I'll tell you where I'm going. I come from Barbados. Because the Cork accent is in Barbados. And I am Father Cyril Wilson from Barbados.
Yeah.
And my parents...
They celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Of course they do. And it's in Barbados because it's like a Cork accent, no?
Brilliant. And so like, and the Barbadians, you know, would have been, had missionaries come over from Cork and all this sort of stuff. And you know, this peculiar melange of accents, you know?
Yeah.
So I do, and then the idea that like South Limerick can become North Kerry.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of idea. Yeah. And they're the same thing, really. So
but it's like, I suppose Cork is like when you go further west.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets faster and faster and faster.
You know, you start off with John Creedon. Welcome. Cork is an anagram of rock. And then you go left. And then you go left. And you're up on Skellig Me Hill.
Yeah, you get to deep territory then into Kerry.
Until eventually you go left and left and left. Until eventually you become a dolphin. And you're in, and you're actually in the ocean. You're going.
Flipper.
Yeah.
This Sunday show with Ed Finn with Germany.travel. Feel inspired by Germany. Your adventure awaits.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to
Paddy Cole here.
The Sunday show. And Mario Rosenstock is our very special guest.
By the way, I could sing half of the Sunshine. I could sing half of the Sunshine playlist.
Yeah.
When
you're
down
a big fan.
And troubled. And you need a helping hand. Nothing is going right.
Now, this is great. We don't even need to play music.
Give me a
Vidal, maybe, or something.
No, forget Vidal. Go on. Old stuff. What's the old stuff?
Michael Bublé.
It's beginning
to look a lot like Christmas.
There you go.
Everywhere you go.
Now,
I hurt myself.
Somebody was on the Ritalin before he came in here.
That's Johnny Cash.
Now, tell me this, right? You're very happily married. You have two lovely kids, Dash and Melanie, I think. Is that correct?
No, Dash and Bellamy.
Bellamy, there you go. I'm close.
Yeah.
So, it was love at first sight.
It's a cliche. It's a real cliche. We met each other at Bono's nightclub in 1995 across a crowded dance floor. I saw her. She saw me.
So, that could never happen today with all this online dating.
No. She was wearing a beautiful brown suede miniskirt and a kind of a white angora sleeveless top.
God, Angora is very posh.
Yeah. No, well, not posh. It was just...
No?
It
was very expensive.
Not really, no.
Okay.
I think it was Dunn's.
Oh, great. Dunn's done the Angora 95.
Girl. She was a good Rahini girl.
Yeah, okay.
But she was gorgeous. And today still is. But she had eyes like one of my favourite ever movie stars, Vivien Leigh.
Oh, Scarlett O'Hara.
The image of Vivien Leigh.
Gorgeous.
And she has these really striking eyes.
Mm.
She's a beaut. And she still is. And blonde. And we met across the crowded dance floor. And believe it or not, now I know the listeners will go away out of it, will you? The first thing we did was kiss.
Yeah, no chatting, just straight in.
No.
Wow.
And then I blew it.
Yeah.
I blew it by saying, you're not a very good kisser. And I'm telling you,
yeah,
she
nearly
belted me across
the
face. Worst opening line.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be funny or witty.
She mustn't have been that bad all the same.
I think she saw something redeemable in me. But anyway, back bright in those light. Days, here, this is a good one, Ed. Back in those days then, we split up that night and then we agreed to meet 2 weeks later.
So whirlwind romance, I suppose.
Whatever, we met 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
But because it's Ireland in 1995, we couldn't remember what each other looked like.
It was a good night.
The good night was had.
Yeah.
We couldn't remember what each other looked like, so we both had to bring chaperones to identify each other. So I brought Nick.
It's very Downton Abbey.
I brought Nick, my friend. No, I brought Nick, my friend, and she brought
the back of the cart.
No, she brought somebody else.
Mm.
And the two of them find who we were. That was him, I think. She said,
"Bring those back. Like bring back those chaperones."
It was spotting people in a criminal lineup.
A few of them.
It was a criminal lineup. Yeah. We were really.
And then, so she kept you on the straight and narrow down the years.
Yeah,
she's been your.
She has.
Right
I've always been a bit wild, and I've calmed down now a bit. Obviously, in the last 20 years or 10 years, but anyway, I was always a bit wild, and she really tempered me a bit.
Yeah, and now the interesting thing, I mean, I heard you chatting before about that, and you were saying that with creative people, I guess sometimes you've so much energy and you're full of so much you want to do, it can go either way.
It can.
You know what I mean?
And you start nice drinking, and I was always that person 5:30 in the morning going, where are we going next for the next drink? And they would be, you know, there'd be people on the floor lying down. I'd be going, come on, let's go into town now.
Wimps.
Now is the time to go into town. We must strike while the iron is hot. Don't you understand? And I'd be going like, the day is going to be wasted if we don't get into the town and get that drinking straight away.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would just be going, sorry, like, where am I getting this energy from?
Mm. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's obviously it's an Irish thing.
Some people have this massive
that
energy.
German mix.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a piebald pony, I think. And I should be riding myself, into town. But anyway, I this is destructive, of course, this kind of energy, because you have to be careful with that type of energy. So anyway, I think basically diverting your energy into a lot of creative projects really helps. Flaz yourself out, as they say in Cork, and then off to bed you go.
Yeah, and of course, your gift club now, your tour you're taking to the country.
Yeah, it's a brand new show.
Yeah, so tell us, because I mean, this is really, I mean, you know, a lot of people would be scared to death to get up on a stage, right? But you thrive on it.
I do,
you know, and that energy that you create between the actual audience. I mean, it's unique.
And as you know, I interact with a lot of the audience.
Yeah, and you give it your all.
I really do, yeah. I spill myself into it. But the important dates for our listeners here, Ed, would be the Olympia dates. You tell me what voice to read it in, I'll do it.
Michael D.
Right. When Mario Rosenstock is one of the greatest artists that have ever lived. He is a satirist par excellence. He is a wonderful mirth maker and creator of accents, all accents, as I can vouch from my time in Galway, Clare, Limerick, and wherever else I've been. He is playing the Olympia Theatre, the Three Olympia, on Thursday the 13th, Friday the 14th, and Saturday the 15th of April, 2023. Get in there.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to your Christmas message, present as well. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to that. Now, before that, though, which you can go, Cork Opera House, absolutely one of the best places in Ireland to go for any show.
Yeah.
You're there on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of March. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's going to be a great one.
Yeah, they're nearly sold out now.
Yeah. Now, we have a far reach here. You know, we can reach Mullingar on a good day here if the wind is good.
So, Niall Horan.
Yeah. I mean, there's another great accent.
Mullingar Park
there.
Hotel. That's a big venue.
Yeah.
We're going there as well. I'm going down to Waterford to this new arena called the SETU, SETU Arena. And I'm doing another arena in Sligo, Knocknaree Arena, and doing the UCH in Limerick and all the big venues.
Now, I mean,
Killarney.
A question that's probably annoying for you, like, is there anything that you get, you really love doing, or is there some that you think, I'll do that, but it's a bit of a, have you got favourites, like, is that your children or your favourite
kids? I've always loved doing Gay Byrne.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh my God, good old gay, yeah?
I was telling somebody else this, you know, I love doing Gay Byrne so much that I even identified that there was three different types of Gay Byrne, you know, that there was, we call the early Gay Byrne.
Yeah.
Which I call the
youthful gay.
I call it the British Gay Byrne.
Yeah.
So is it, hello there, welcome back. Now we're joined by three lovely lads from they're called the Beatles. There they are, John, Paul, George and Ringo. And here they are, the Beatles. And then they got to 1970s, and I call 1970s and 80s American gay. And that's when gay started copying the Americans. And it was like, okay, okely dokely, there we are. We're joined by the great Ed Finn. Ed's going to do it. He's on the hoot. He's on the horn. He's going to do the horn. He's going to play the horn. And Johnny Mac is going to do the thing. And we're all going to be back there. We're having a great time tonight. Dickie Rock is next. Howdy doody, folks. And then we had Older Mature Gay. And Older Mature Gay was, welcome back to the show. I'm joined by the lovely.
This is the gay I know.
Ed Finn. There's a little bit of gay in Ed as well, of course. And a wonderful person. And of course, the deep resonance of his voice, don't you know, before he departed from this realm. It was gay. And I realised that a lot of the characters I do, you can pick characters that have a pitch that suits your own. So one day I remember in 2005, Ian, who's a Chelsea supporter, said, Jesus, your man Mourinho is hilarious, isn't he?
Oh yeah, great
and,
one.
And I was sitting in the room and he went, Mario, if you can do him. And I went, do you mean if I can do him? There's no problem to do him at all because he is in the same pitch as my voice. My voice is very close to Jose. And of course, you can find it within your own pitch, you know, so gay would be down there like that and up there. And all you need to do is speak very clearly. Wonderful, wonderful boy. And then suddenly you're very close to Jose if you wanted to Portuguese. So there was it's kind of just a musical thing, but it's more that you become sympathetic with your own pitches in your own voice. Mm. And then there are ways you can change the pitch of your, not pitch, but you can change tonally your voice to do somebody's accent who you don't sound like at all. So like I'll do somebody now who I don't sound like at all, but you should recognize who it is immediately.
So like Ed, when you say now that you're broadcasting, right?
He's from Cork as well.
Would you ever suffer psychologically, like, you know, would you ever feel that, like, you know, that, like, you know, this is difficult for me? No, I know when you say I'm asking you that question now, I'm being a bit curious, but like, you know, if I asked you now, like, that sounds way different to gay, doesn't it?
Brendan, oh wow, that is the best Brendan I've ever heard. Like, you could ring up and pretend to be Brendan, like, you know, just cancel Vodafone accounts and everything.
I have an exclusive for you.
That was fabulous.
No, but I have an exclusive for you. I never told you this before. I never told anybody this before, and it's just come into my head now that you said that. In 1997, a journalist friend of mine asked me, ring bank 10 that I was aiming down to see if I could break into the bank, to see if I could get into his account.
And millions.
I did.
Oh my God.
And they told Brilliant. Me, Diamond Dunphy, I forgot my number. I need to. How much is my account? And they went, sorry, excuse me. And they went, I just need to know how much is in my account. And they were, there was pauses in it. And eventually made them do it. Anyway, it led to a story that got into the newspapers going, this is breaking security.
Yeah.
So apparently then, after that, they had to do things like you couldn't never allow somebody, no matter if they said, I'm president of the world, can't just allow somebody. You have to say a certain number of key security features. Now, I don't know if I was responsible for that. And
the other person I rang up in was, of course, a big fan of James Joyce. I rang him and I went, how much is in my account at the moment? Please, tell me. I want to know how much I have money-wise.
And so they told me him as well. And I found out how much he had his account.
Well, you're dangerous man. Have you any plans to do movies or anything? Because, like, you're definitely... I mean, I know the stand-up is amazing, but... Yeah.
But I was thinking, everything I do is characters.
Yeah.
And everything I do is inhabiting another character. And so acting is just an extension of that. In fact, I was saying to somebody the other day, I don't know if you've seen the recent series The Crown.
Yeah, I have indeed, so yeah.
Did you see...
Gobbled it up.
Did you see Elizabeth Debicki?
Yeah.
And her uncanny portrayal of Princess Diana?
Oh, that was the one, wasn't it? That was nailed.
It's ghostly.
Yeah, but incredible. The look.
But what is it? She is inhabiting the
mannerism,
character.
Yeah.
You know, now, I would say that it's...
Because Imelda Staunton was a bit dodge as the Queen, I thought, but anyway.
She was a bit different to Olivia Colman, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
My favourite was the first one, one.
Yeah, she was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman was funny. She had a sense of humour. Mm. The first one was...
Yeah.
I thought the first
Claire
one was
Foy.
Great. Claire Foy, yeah. Amazing. She was lovely.
Yeah. So you'd be happy enough to go down that road as well?
Of course I would.
Yeah.
Now, acting is quite boring
mm.
because you stand around for 9 hours on a set and might get 1 minute out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of an action-packed character.
You'd be the main star anyway, so you'd be
Of course
grand.
I would, Ed.
You'd be grand. Like, wouldn't
be
an extra
Brendan
thing.
O'Connor in The Crown.
Introducing Brendan O'Connor.
The Cork and Crown.
The Cork Prince. The Merchant Prince from Cork.
We're going to take a break now. Like,
can I ask you, have you ever been on Salpatine?
Okay, listen to me. I could talk to you, obviously, all day, and it's an absolute treat. This, the last
There's loads
show
of pubs
of the
across
season.
The road. Do you want to go for a few pints? Yeah, I heard you had a big party here last weekend.
I just changed my bank details.
He told me that they were in there till 5 o'clock in the morning.
My PIN number on my bank
5
account.
O'clock in the morning, he said they were in the studios till partying.
All lies. Mario Rosenstock, it's been an absolute pleasure. What is your, if anyone missed your dates there, what's your website?
13th, 14th, 15th of April, I'm in the Olympia Theatre. And just check Ticketmaster. Put my name in, Mario Rosenstock, Ticketmaster, you'll be straight in.
Mario Rosenstock, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you, Ed.